Is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Edition of WTR Sunlight Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live. Chat if you have your Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop when you buy John Cena or Cody Rhodes your WrestleMania main event in the Fortnite item shop right this moment, as well as The Undertaker, who's hashtag epic partner. A billion run-ins 1 year ago, and everyone was like, sometimes it gets overbooked. Now there was less, and everyone is, well, interneting. And we'll talk about it. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
I mean, I have The Undertaker, and I got two victory royales with him already, so rest in peace, bitches.
As you Sabrina Carpenter your way to victory royales.
No, it was H-O-T-T-O-G-O on the opponents as I won.
But not the witty.
No, I didn't drop the Gwitty. That I should drop the Gwitty as the Undertaker, so that would be fun.
I have video of doing that. It's
dude, Taker's got some hips. Let me just tell you.
I mean, he got him replaced, so it makes perfect sense.
Keishi, do you have a Taker or a Cena or a Cody?
I don't actually have any of those. My kid has Cena though.
Oh, okay.
It's all available right now in the Fortnite item shop. But yeah, that's one Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, I made it.
He made
watch,
it.
Review, talk about highs, lows, some middle stuff. That guy in the front row with the green happy face shirt.
Green shirt guy.
Green shirt guy. Yeah, him. And then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
That'd be me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the WrestleMania review edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Come join us in the live chat room as we present our thoughts and opinions on the two-night extravaganza called WrestleMania.
A lot of hits, some misses. People were like, I don't know about that one, but I don't know about this one. But there were big moments on the show, including many title changes, big surprises, and when you say his name, he just appears. So I want to start there. So Randy Orton was scheduled to face Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens unfortunately got hurt. And then everyone was speculating, oh, it's going to be Aleister Black. It's going to be Rusev. It's going to be Nick Aldis. No one was saying the name.
Hey Rock, wait. Who did WWE 2K25 have?
The one that's always, the one that's always ready. Everyone forgot to say his name. Everyone was saying for his name like 3-4 weeks ago. But tonight he appeared to be Randy Orton's opponent. In what would, if you think about it, the one of the biggest historical WrestleMania type moments. The TNA World Champion Joe Hendry was in a match at WrestleMania.
You rarely get to see another company's champion. Like, we've seen that happen at the Royal Rumble twice now.
But this is the WrestleMania.
Right. Well, technically 3 times, because it was Mickey, it was Jordan Grace, and then it was Joe Hendry. Yeah, you had it at Rumble. You have them appear on NXT. You've never... And I mean, this even dates back to early WrestleMania, you know, like WrestleMania 10, 4. You never had, like, the All Japan champion on... Like, you've had appearances from, like, All Japan Pro Wrestling or Noah or whatever, but they've never appeared on the grandest stage. And so the fact that you could get the TNA World Champion on WrestleMania... I know some people will say, oh, the match was really short, and, you know, oh, he ended up getting punked out to Orton. All in all, TNA has got to be thrilled with the fact that they got their champion on the show, because that's just exposure.
It is. Randy gave him a couple RKOs, but he made too sure to put him over.
Yeah, you got Joe Hendry getting his spots in as well. And there were points where you saw, like, Randy taking some offense and kind of have this, okay, kind of look to his face when he would get hit with something. It wasn't completely no-sell. It's like, but it was going to be a foregone conclusion. Randy Orton was going to win.
They weren't going to have a 15-minute classic at WrestleMania. It was just not going to be a thing. This was to get Randy on the show, do the RKO, and get the pop. It was a nice...
Or a few.
Or a few. But it was a nice touch. If you notice, the color of Randy's gear was blue and gold, yellow, whatever you want to call it. A throwback to his original gear when he first debuted on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice touch.
And it filled a spot that you needed to... would we have ultimately liked Kevin versus Randy? Sure, because it would have gone 15 minutes or so. And it would have been a really good match back and forth. But for what it needed to be tonight, it did its job.
Did, in fact, do its job. Looking at as that as a big surprise, there were on night one, guys, we had moments that we all kind of expected. We had multiple title changes, including the New Day winning the World Tag Team titles. We had Jey Uso becoming the world's heavyweight champion, Jacob Fatu winning the U.S. title. Which of those stood out most to you as the biggest title win on night one? We'll start with Keish.
Personally, I think Jay's win was better. It was just kind of like, just because of the momentum he had and, you know, the fanfare behind it. And, like, the fans have been behind him for quite a while. So, like, him kind of getting his due and kind of, like, working himself up to being in that position, I think was just, like, kind of like a bigger payoff. I mean, seeing the New Day win is obviously good, and like it helps them with, you know, drive their characters in the direction that they want to go. But I think Jay's win is just kind of overall, like, I mean, it's a feel good moment, is big for him. It's kind of big for the fans. The fans can get behind it. I think that was the bigger moment.
Do you agree, Tim? That was the bigger moment. That's the biggest for that night in terms of title changes.
Biggest surprise.
Biggest title win.
Title win out of the three.
Okay, for me, the biggest title win is Jacob Fatu.
Why is that?
Just with everything happening leading up to the matches with the respective storylines, it was just a case of, okay, if Jay doesn't win the title, massive, huge disappointment and fumble. They fumbled the ball. They fumbled the booking. The New Day winning the titles, again, you know, it's like what Casey said. It helps them further this new direction they're moving in. And it's not a surprise. But Jacob Fatu beating L.A. Knight, it just it came across as a bit of a shocker. I mean, yeah, I mean, now that he's getting a chance to show what he can actually do, there are people that are surprised that he's as good as he is. Mm-hmm. Like, for us, it's not a surprise. But for those people watching, it's like, holy shit. And as far as that goes, that's, you know, that doesn't make it the surprise. But it's just a case of watching it. I honestly didn't feel like they were ready to take the title off of LA Knight again after a relatively short second run and give it to Jacob. I figured that they would wait a little longer to do that. So for me, that's a surprise.
That is indeed a surprise. The biggest title win from Knight 1. Brent, where do you lie? Do you go with Jay?
Bigger win overall, I think, is Jay. Number one, because it's the bigger prize. And number two, it's the culmination of a 5-year story. And it all started with the fact of Jay working solo, not his brother, but working because Jimmy had gotten hurt. And, you know, he started to try and do the whole main event Jey Uso thing. And at that point, it was like, okay, yeah, sure, main event, haha, whatever. And he kind of kicked off the whole Roman bloodline story, essentially. Fast forward to 5 years. Main event isn't just a tagline. It's what he is now. He legitimately is the top guy on the Monday Night brand, and he has stepped out from being just that quote-unquote tag team specialist, needing his brother, having all of those reigns together with Jimmy, and cementing himself as like, okay, he was a tag team guy, but he's also a singles performer. So ultimately, I think that's the bigger win. I think Jacob winning the U.S. title really adds credence to him. But at the same time, it's the start of what's going on with them of like, you know, is Solo going to get jealous? Is, you know, do we get a new formed bloodline with Jacob in the lead? Do we get a, you know, a fracture there? There's more kind of building that's going on with Jacob. The title win helps him, but I think the bigger win overall goes to Jay winning the world title and kind of cementing his place. And now you kind of free up that division with a whole bunch of challengers for him to face. And again, as we talked about last night, this doesn't have to be a 8-month reign for him. It can be 3 to 4 months, have him face a, you know, some stiff competition. And then if he drops the belt, it starts to kind of move around rather than be held up by someone for over a year that we've seen on both brands when it comes to the world title.
We do see that on a lot of the brands right now. Every brand in wrestling has a champion that goes probably longer than they need to as the top champion, whether it be Ring of Honor with Athena, or in AEW, or in WWE with Cody and Roman and all this, and all the like. We've seen long title reigns, so championships changing hands, even the top title, more often wouldn't it be the worst thing. The women on Saturday night came to play, I would say. There was a lot of physicality in both the Jade Cargill versus Naomi match, with Jade Cargill getting the win, and Tiffany Stratton retaining the women's championship against Charlotte Flair. And many were saying they weren't sure what to expect from Tiffany and Charlotte based on all their interactions leading up to it, Cage, and they kind of had it wasn't the prettiest match at times, but as you know, Cage, when you're in the ring, it doesn't always have to be the prettiest, especially when you're trying to make it look real.
Yeah, and I mean, with a lot of the stuff leading up to this match, whether it was part of the storyline or maybe went a little off book, I think having it be a little bit more physical, especially when you have someone like Tiffany Stratton and someone like Charlotte, who, like, you know, Charlotte is like the women's wrestler, and Tiffany is like very much like, you know, she came out in a Barbie box. So to have those two kind of like come out and, you know, get each other a little bit, I think was good for both of them. I mean, it did result in Tiffany Stratton get a little bit of a chipped tooth there, but I think it helped the match, and it helped it kind of stand out, especially when you look at all the women's matches together. I think this one kind of stood out for the physicality a little bit more than the rest of them, which is good, because the last thing you want is to have them all kind of like be sort of similar, because then people start throwing shots at women's wrestling, which, you know, nobody wants to see. So,
and sticking with that, when you look at the Jade Naomi match, they were trying to do innovative things that you normally don't see out of both women. They tried a lot of different ways to do moves, which could have gone bad if it was all missed time. Relatively speaking, they went hard. They did a lot of catching of each other, and really like the power bombs and the jackhammer. They tried stuff, and it kind of worked last night.
Yeah, I thought they did a lot of stuff that, like, you know, like all of the power stuff, highlighting Jade's strength, and then, you know, Naomi was made to, like, both of them worked really hard, and they worked with each other very well. I thought the match was very well done. I mean, I had zero complaints about it. I mean, it felt, I'm not really sure how to, it was very smooth, but almost in a way of, like, I think they worked on a lot of the things to make sure that it went smooth, which, I mean, ultimately ends up working out well, because then there aren't as many, like, mess-ups, and then the internet doesn't have a heyday with both of these ladies, even though they're both good wrestlers. So,
and especially with their lack of live events these days, working on stuff before you get there kind of should be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
We also had El Grande Americano beat Rey Fénix. Rey Mysterio got injured, and there you go. Tim, I want to ask you this. Go ahead, Brent.
I was going to say, officially came out torn groin.
Torn groin. Good job, Brent.
I tried. I tried.
I want to ask you this, Tim. Which match on night one was your match of the night?
My match of the night for night one?
Yes.
The world title match.
The opening match. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very well done match. Excellently booked. It told the story it needed to tell. It was a feel-good. And for me, not to take anything away from all the other matches, it's like I always say, when you're booking a show, you want your curtain jerker to be as strong, if not stronger, than what you hope your main event is going to be, because you want to suck everybody in immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to put out two jobbers to, curtain jerk.
And you made a point. It was a feel-good moment. Both of these nights of WrestleMania did not end with feel-good moment.
Well, night one did if you're Seth Rollins.
But from a story standpoint, the bad guy was on top. So
it's very rare that WWE does a major bad guy finish to a night like WrestleMania.
And it's both nights of WrestleMania. We'll get to both of them here in a bit. For night two, we saw the crowning of a brand new Intercontinental Champion, Brent.
You goddamn mole.
Molly.
But it's now, not just it's not just mole. It's not just me.
No, it's not you. We talked about possibilities last week of, you know, what could happen. It's fine. Part of me was sitting there like, I didn't know if they were going to pull the trigger on something like that. And overall, it kind of makes sense, especially with how it was won.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause now it sets up a big storyline moving forward. Like, okay, this is where you're going to go. This is where you're going to have to take it.
I love how the meltdown on X after he won it.
But here's the thing, before you make your point. The crowd loved themselves some Dominic Mysterio.
Well, and one of the things I was going to say is I was checking X about this, and someone was like, oh, the greatest unplanned moment turned into a huge WrestleMania moment. And part of me is like, that wasn't unplanned. That was probably Hunter in the back going, the fans are eating it up. Dom, go back to the ring. Someone gave him a signal, and he ran back and got onto the corner post, because if it was spontaneous, they wouldn't have had that lower third ready.
No, you saw a producer or something go. You saw that a couple times. It's like, go do the thing.
Get back there. Yeah. But yeah, the fans were eating it up.
Speaking of which, Dom's on right now talking with the guys at the desk post-show.
But it's
he's really... he's getting cheers.
It's really funny because just think, over, what, 20 years ago? Or, you know, 15, 20 years ago? We had Little Dom on SummerSlam being fought over by his two dads with the Dominic on a pole match, essentially. He's now turned into a legitimate WWE superstar. It is surreal to see this kind of happen. But it's also, like, you realize how much he's put in and how good of a performer he actually is, and now the company is realizing it, like, yeah, we're gonna put the belt on him.
Yeah, I absolutely never at any point expected the crowd mid-match to start cheering Dom.
No one did, but it happened. This was an interesting crowd. They were booing your, at that point, current undisputed WWE champion.
They and laid they were, into Bianca Belair throughout the night.
Yeah. So this is, but this is a crowd from everywhere. It's Vegas, so everyone flew into Vegas. It's not just a localized crowd. It's people who spent a lot of money to make that all a reality. But yeah, Dom's your champion. There's interesting stuff coming with him and Finn. Finn gave him a look afterwards, like, huh.
You little shit.
We also.
Oh my God, he's wearing an Eddie shirt.
Yep.
Yep.
There was a Sin City street fight between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest.
You see the John Cena ice cream bar in the crowd?
Let me just say, Drew McIntyre, you have violated the sanctity of the street fight. Should have shown up in jeans.
No, he came as Doom.
Yeah, he came out, and I was like, what the hell is that thing on the ramp? And then he came out in like the whole chest piece and everything, and I was like, okay. And then they announced Doom, and I went, all right. Although I will say, the best and worst product placement of all was in the match we just talked about, because the ad read came while Dominic was coming to the ring as well.
Oh, yeah.
Dude wipes.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, my God.
But when I saw Drew come out, I was like, is that it? It was Master Chief. That's who I first thought.
Well, yeah, Master Chief and Doom Guy are the same thing. We learned that from Fortnite.
Yeah. We learned that everything's Fortnite, as we've been learning these days. But they went out there and had a pretty good fight, Tim.
They did. And this, I do believe, I commented that this was a match that I was looking forward to seeing. I wasn't feeling one bit disappointed. I did enjoy the one spot where he grabbed his brother's camera and took a selfie in the middle of the match. That I found that kind of humorous. And as soon as the match is over, like literally 2 minutes after the match is over, he posts the selfie on X.
No, it was in real time.
Rue!
It was legitimately in real time. Whoever had the phone posted it. It was mid-match.
Well, it was posted on Drew's account, and I saw it like immediately after the match was over.
Oh, I saw it immediately as the match was like 1 minute or 2 minutes later.
Yeah, I didn't see it while the match was on. I didn't see it until after.
Like it was like legit all over my feed. Like for 2 seconds, it was right there. Everyone was retweeting it. It was interesting.
I found it enjoyable, but overall, it's tough for me to say I'm disappointed that Drew won. It's tough for me to say I'm disappointed that Damian lost. You know how I feel about both these wrestlers as a fan, and basically sat down, told myself, I don't care who wins as long as they deliver. They delivered.
They did deliver.
I think the one thing that kind of, some people may be disappointed in Damian losing. I think the move that ultimately put him down, though, you're not disappointed with, because it's like, if anyone gets hit with that, it's kind of like, yeah, no, he's not getting up from it. It's over. A claymore with a chair in the corner like that, it's just, I commented lights during out. The show to Rock, I was like, that looked vicious.
Yeah, lights out. Oh, Becky press conference, she's got her daughter with her there.
Yeah, Rue's adorable.
And speaking a lot, it's very adorable. Drew got cut up in this match, Cage. You saw it on his lower back, and it was like right around his shoulder, I think, from one of the table spots. Like you couldn't fully see it because of his hair, but you saw the blood. It was there. They took some vicious bumps with the tables, but overall, a pretty good street fight, would you say, Cage?
Absolutely. I mean, you come to expect that from Drew. You know, he goes to battle with guys like Sheamus, and the match he had with Gunther, they just beat the crap out of each other. And like, Drew's always been that guy. No matter what he's doing, he always gives like 110% in the ring, much to the detriment of his own body most of the time. So like, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that these guys beat the holy heck out of each other. I'm not surprised that they took some risks with a lot of the accoutrement that accompanies a match such as this, because, you know, when you're, and like guys say it all the time when they're interviewed, if you're not first or last on the card, you got to do something to stand out. And I think these guys did just that. This is a match that, like, I mean, you know, a lot of the moments that happened in this match will be remembered as like brutal, and these guys just leaving it all out there.
Well, and it's a good match without being excessive on the street fight.
Yeah.
We see a lot of times, like, when people want to do like a lights out or a street fight, it's like, all right, so we're going to pull out, you know, syringes or broken glass or stuff like that. And it's like, okay, there's a certain point where you look at this and go, there's going to be diminishing returns, because no matter what, everyone's expecting you to up the bar. With this, it was just two guys didn't like each other. They were going to use weapons to make things hurt more, but it wasn't to the point of like, we're going to go completely ridiculous with what was there. It was just, no, two guys who didn't like each other beat the high holy hell out of each other, and it looked legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Logan Paul took on AJ Styles, got the win.
Yay.
I liked Logan hitting the Styles Clash, and then AJ just kind of popping up and is like, nah, bro.
This is how you do it.
Right. Well, and it's always one of those things, like when you see someone hit another person's finisher, part of me goes, how is it not that effective? And then part of me is like, well, I mean, the person whose move it is knows how to throw it correctly, so maybe part of it is that, like, oh, he didn't know how to, like, really throw a Styles Clash. But it was just like, in that moment, I was like, I'm okay if AJ kind of no-sold that a bit, just because we wanted to see the real Styles Clash, and we did.
Indeed. You say her name, and she appears. The man came back around at WrestleMania.
So happy.
Taking the place of Bayley in a storyline injury to get Becky Lynch back on the show, so everyone's upset about, oh my god, they took Bayley off. It's,
well,
been
you the... You had half the internet fighting with the other half about Bayley. Oh, she's really injured. No, she's not. And then there was a third contingent. Why would they do that?
Because it was planned.
I will simply say this, for all the people who are upset about Bayley, she got her moment last year. She got to get the very big title win at WrestleMania in a good match with Io Sky. This year, you know, if she had to step aside to let Becky come back, so be it.
Oh, this is the second time Becky has taken somebody else's spot when she's come back.
Mm-hmm.
Who did she replace the last time? Brent?
Well, there was Carmella, who she chucked out of the ring, and beat Bianca Belair at SummerSlam.
Yep.
But this one's different. This was the plan, and Bayley was always the fill-in for Becky. Because Becky at one point was pitched to do more, but they came to this conclusion how to do the story. So Bayley, who we all saw was feuding with Roxanne, was sort of plan B in this whole thing. Bayley's going to be fine.
Bayley's going to be fine, and ultimately, I think this works best for the overall company, because you've got Becky holding the tag team title. Spoiler, her and Lyra won. but you have Becky with a title. And as we've learned, the women's titles flow throughout the company, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. And as we saw
on the line this Tuesday, it's going to be Gigi and
Tatum.
So she gets to fight Lyra.
And they get to be on network television with one of your biggest stars. So needless to say, I don't think, you know, I think from a company standpoint, they're like, yeah, this is good. We're happy with this.
And it's not even your biggest star. It's the reason you're on network television.
Mm-hmm.
Because Becky's running NXT. Put eyeballs on it and made CW aware of this NXT property.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is she doesn't have to work NXT all the time. It's just, oh yeah, the tag team champs make a spot appearance down here, defend the belt, and then she can go and work wherever she needs to, and it's just like, all right, cool. She gets exposure, the network is happy because they get a big star, and win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised, Cage, that the belt did change hands, though?
Once Becky came out, no.
Once you realize, there's a possibility this mystery person's going to be a multi-time women's champion.
Yeah. You're like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, it could have, like, and I think I said this last week, I can't remember. Either way, with how the belts would have gone, would have been fine. You know, Becky making a comeback and getting the tag titles, being able to work on any show is always good for all the reasons that have been stated before. I'm glad that, not that I'm glad, but if they're going to replace anybody on that team with Becky, I think it's better that it was Bayley, because Bayley can take that hit versus, you know, Becky coming back and taking a spot from a younger, quote unquote, rookie, like a newer talent. I think it's better to have those two in there. The chemistry they had in the match was good, so that was nice. Bayley's going to be fine because she is Bayley. She is capable of carrying a show when no one is in the audience. I don't think getting quote unquote injured on night one and losing a tag team spot for a night two match is going to ruin her in any means. So if you're going to make that call, it was the right call, the right person to make. I think everything's going to be fine. It's only going to be better for the company short and long term. So, I mean, does it suck that Bayley didn't get to wrestle on Mania? Yeah. But like Rock said, she got her moment last year, and I'm sure she will have other Mania moments, so it's, yeah, I'm happy with it.
Okay.
Let me just say this for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
All the people who are mad that Liv Morgan lost a title, she's going to be fine. She doesn't have to be whatever title holder or be in the main event of every single thing.
Okay.
Let her cool off a little bit.
She'll be fine. She's going to be a big part of Monday Night Raw or SmackDown going forward. I'm going to interrupt. John Cena is doing the presser. And his answer to every question is, that's clickbait. That's lazy reporting.
Oh, my favorite thing is, I love he walks in, he has Cody's side plates in his hand, and just chucks them to the side.
Nice.
But like, John No Fucks is so good.
Because the first question was about the Rock, and it's like, that's clickbait. You know, I'm going for it. He's doing great.
this is why the fans were cheering him. They've wanted this for so long.
This for so long. I think the biggest surprise of night two, because a lot of people expected it to change hands, was Io retaining the Women's World Championship.
I will say this. All three of us picked Io to win. I don't think it was that much of a surprise.
You listen to the fans, though.
I think just because the three of us picked Io to win doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't a surprise. I think the way we argued, we were like, Io needs this match more than the other two to solidify her reign and, you know, give her the quote-unquote legitimacy, whereas a lot of things on the internet was very much like, why is Io in this match? It should be Rhea versus Bianca, blah, blah, blah. So I think her, at like, in the grand scheme overall scheme of things, I think her win is a surprise. I think we were just more picking her because, like, we think she should win. Here's why. And we just kind of went with that argument as to why, as opposed to, well, the other two are more popular and Io shouldn't be in that event. So,
yeah, I think for Joe and Jane, Ben, it's a surprise because of wishful or hopeful thinking, to tell you the absolute honest truth. Rhea is currently the most over wrestler on the roster, male or female. That pop she got tonight, holy shit. But everybody bitching and complaining that she didn't win that damn title. The problem is she is so over that she's going to be more popular chasing the goddamn thing for the next year. And when I say the problem, it's not a problem for Rhea. It's not a problem for WWE. It's not a problem for the four of us. And it's not going to be a problem for Lindsay. It's a problem for all of the Rhea fans. And I'm seeing it on my Twitter feed, my X feed, whatever you want to call it, in real time, people bitching and complaining because that's, you know, she's their girl and she didn't win it. And they're on the internet to complain. They took Triple H's advice.
But I will say this. That was probably match of the night for night two.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Oh, that's those, my match for WrestleMania.
Oh, they worked women, their asses off.
Yeah, they all decided they were going to go to that locker room and be like, fucking top this. And all three women came out to work well. Io comes out looking like a million bucks because as the storyline was going into the show, she's undefeated in triple threat championship matches. She has a pretty good record against both Bianca and Rhea. So now moving forward, if you put them in singles matches with her, you can keep touting that fact that, like, she's got winning records against both of y'all. Like, you have to work to beat her. And you've got things moving forward where it's like, okay, does Bianca continue down the road of Jade and Naomi and start to splinter that way? Does she stay in the title picture short term to go against Io? Rhea's got some stuff that she can do. And also, I don't think there's a problem with having Rhea go through that kind of conscience of crisis of, like, she knows she's dominant, but in the past couple of weeks, she, you know, things have gotten the better of her. So does she have to kind of take it to another level now to start to win the title and get back to where she was before?
So Io's still your Women's World Champion. Now, both nights of WrestleMania ended with a little bit of controversy. We'll say night one saw Seth Rollins beat CM Punk and Roman Reigns. Night two saw John Cena beat Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Heels, by their definition, whether it's crowd wants it to believe it or not, into WWE eyes, coming out of those events, their top heels, Seth Rollins and John Cena, now, came out on top. There was a lot of dramatic storytelling in the main event of night one, and it involved Paul Heyman and which side is he on, and his despair of watching his best friend and his tribal chief go at it, and he couldn't do anything about it to stop it. But in the end, he really wasn't pulling for either man. He became part of the visionary and architect's plan after not one, but two low blows to both CM Punk, his best friend, and Roman Reigns, while he was setting Roman up to do the reverse shield moment with the steel chair. What was your take, Keish, on the main event of night one?
I like how it, by the time it all ended, I kind of liked where it went. Seth has kind of been doing what he's been doing for a while now. And even though Seth doesn't need like help on the mic or anything like that, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of move forward with Heyman in his corner and how they kind of change up Seth's character, whether he goes fully away from the, the loud flamboyant outfits and the crowd chanting along with him, or if it's somehow more over the top because Heyman's there, or maybe he just goes, you know what? I don't feel like talking to you guys anymore. So now I have a mouthpiece to speak for me. Not because I need him, but because I'm sick of all of you. It could go in that direction. There are a lot of fun options. I do think that the runaround to get to that point was a bit much and a bit contrived, but at the end of the day, I'm happy with the outcome.
Are you happy with the outcome, Tim?
Well, I do believe when we did our previews, we were all speculating, will Paul wind up betraying both Punk and Roman? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the big question on the internet for a week, but I think we saw this coming a mile away. As far as night one, the heel one, Seth wasn't really a full-blown heel until the very end of the match, really.
Yeah, but he still was the heel at the end of the night.
At the end of the match, he became the heel.
Yes.
In case he's got a salient point, does he just say, "I'm sick of you guys. I got my mouthpiece here. He'll talk for me." I kind of like that idea, but at the same time, to tell you the truth, Seth is so gold on the mic. If he does that, I'll be very, disappointed, jaded. Feeling like we are missing out if he decides not to continue verbalizing his thoughts and beliefs and such. As far as the night goes, I had absolutely no problem with Seth winning it. I didn't have any problem with Paul Heyman betraying both his guys. And just looking at it from the third person point of view, it was the best of a worst case scenario for Paul. Because if he stuck with CM Punk, he's got an enemy with the OTC. If he becomes the Tribal Chief's wise man again, he's got problems with Punk. Either one of those scenarios has nothing to do with Seth.
Wow, I think Heyman's still going to have problems with Punk.
Well, hang on a second. Let me finish, because it was one or the other. But neither one of those scenarios had anything to do with Seth, is what I'm saying. The best of a worst case situation for Paul was turning his back on both his guys and aligning with Seth. It keeps CM Punk and Roman hot. They're going to both be hot, and they're not going to be able to take it out on Paul. So all of a sudden, Seth is going to become the guy they chase. They're both going to want revenge. This is going to go on for a while. And I have absolute faith, after 2.5 straight years of what we've been watching, I have absolute faith they're going to handle it in a very, very entertaining, engaging way. And I have to admit, I'm looking forward to seeing what might wind up coming out of this. Because, once again, what they did has opened up a whole universe of storytelling that they could explore.
In that same vein, I'll take a little bit of a different direction for you, Brent. Paul Heyman has now, you know, Rollins is a really good talker. You really don't need Heyman to talk, as Casey said. And Heyman could be the one talking, I should say. But will Heyman dress like Seth Rollins?
God, I hope not.
You don't want to see him get his fancy suit with the decked out colors and everything and the robe?
No,
and
no, not Paul. Not Paul. Like, don't get me wrong. I think for Seth, the outlandish personality, and he has the it to be able to pull that off. I don't know if Paul quite has the best frame, for lack of a better term, to pull off some of the looks that Seth does.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
He didn't exactly have the best frame for the ponytail, ball cap, and leather trench coat that he had for ECW either.
No, that made more sense because he looked like ECW is, you know, the fringe group, and so he just looked like a guy that rolled out from his living room in that, and so it just matched.
Well, yeah, the thing about it, he literally did just roll out of the living room.
Back then. So, but it's like, when it comes to Paul, can Paul talk for Seth Rollins? Sure. But I don't think that's what it's going to become. And honestly, if you want to play this out in a certain way, Paul was just a pawn in both the CM Punk and the Roman Reigns situation. He never really had power between the two of them. Was he there? Sure. But he wasn't ever kind of in charge. By joining Seth, he takes ownership of what he's doing. As the tribal chief, or as the wise man to the tribal chief, he was always like, I have to be in line or the tribal chief's going to kick my ass. It was, you know, it was just, don't do anything to piss him off. With CM Punk, they were friends, but it's also like, what real agency did Paul Heyman have in that situation? He had to join Punk because Punk called in a favor. With Seth, even though they played into the whole, like, you owe me, we can find out on Monday, like, this has been the plan all along. We've had this in motion for 5-6 months, and both of us just played you all. This is what happens when you put two great minds with each other. And it's one of those things where Paul doesn't have to talk. It can just be the fact that the two will strategize with each other and make that a kind of scary situation, that you have two very skilled tacticians that will bounce stuff off of each other.
And then there's John Cena.
Well, we saw him tonight.
Winning his 17th world championship.
I'm not talking about John Cena. That's clickbait.
Cash, what was your thoughts on the main event of night two?
I mean, I liked that there wasn't a whole lot of extra stuff at the end. I was very much watching this, and as soon as that kind of like first time the ref got hit, then I was like, oh, here it all comes, and not as much. So then I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not bad. I'm happy with the outcome. I thought, you know, Cody sort of was losing steam with his title run, so it's good that they changed it. It was very interesting that I'm interested to see how Cena kind of comes back from getting cheered from this win. I'm sure he will very easily because he's John Cena. But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, for those two guys, especially probably because, you know, Cena's on a reduced schedule and he's up there in on his, you know, the health of his body and how much he can probably do. They got a lot of stuff in. It was very like, I don't know how to say it. They hit all the beats they needed to, didn't do too much and didn't do too little.
What was your take, Tim?
Well, for that match, I hate to sound like Debbie Downer, but the match felt a little bit like a downer after the rest of the night. Like it was in the wrong place on the card. I know it had to be the main event because of the story, and who's involved and what's going on and everything. But at the end of the day, like the women's triple threat match is a main event on any card on any pay-per-view except for this one. And Cena Cody is the main event tonight because of who's involved and the whole history behind it. But, you know, like Casey said, they didn't give you too much. They didn't give you too little. They hit their spots. They did just enough. But most times for a WrestleMania main event, just enough isn't enough. You know what I mean? And for me, this just didn't feel like it was on the right place on the card for tonight. And I honestly think it would have been better to have had that main event night one instead of night two. I don't want to take anything away from the guys. I didn't hate the match. It was fine. It told the story it was supposed to tell. And I'm sorry that I'm making it feel, because I know what I'm saying. I'm making it sound like I think it's shit. And I don't mean to do that. Because it wasn't. But it was, if it had opened the night, maybe. If it was in the middle of the card, maybe bigger. If it was the main event of night one, for me, that would have been best.
I think it's just has a lot to do with, like, there were a lot of matches both nights that delivered more than this one did.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good way of putting it. It didn't deliver as much as all the other matches. For me, if you're going to compare night one and night two, I'm not going to say night two blew night one out of the water or night one sucked, because it didn't suck. Night one, for me, the entire night just flew by, and I'm like, you know, WrestleMania night one is over. I'm like, already? Wow, that seemed quick. I looked at the time. It wasn't quick. It absolutely wasn't. But whether you bitch about a premium live event or you praise a premium live event, one thing is an absolute. If you do not realize the passage of time while you're watching, it's a very good night. I would have, for me, swapped a few matches back and forth. The more entertaining matches overall were tonight.
But the match people paid the most to see was this main event. And you go back to the argument of best match, whatever. You know, WrestleMania 3 argument. Hogan and Andre is the one who brought the house in.
That's main event. Problem.
Cena brought the house. Cody brought the house. And that's why it was the main event. Travis Scott, Brent, is still walking to the ring for the main event.
Dear God, it took him forever. He had no urgency. Yep. Look, I know sometimes you want to savor... I know sometimes you want to savor your WrestleMania moment, but there's a limit, y'all.
Yeah, there's only one person who's legitimately allowed to move that slow getting to the ring, and that's Undertaker.
I would have said Iron Sheik, honestly, but...
No.
He's still entering the gimmick Battle Royal, Tim. Honestly, I think part of the problem, and I hate to use that word, but I think it's part of why I think some people are not satisfied with the main event of tonight is because ultimately I think the ending was forecast. Like, going into this match, did we really think Cody Rhodes was going to win in John Cena's last WrestleMania when the whole storyline is Cena's going to, you know, Cena turned heel for the first time in almost forever on his way out?
22 years.
Like, did we honestly think Cody was going to win this? He's held the belt for a year. It doesn't do anything for him to retain in this moment. The bigger storyline is Cena wins and what kind of chaos comes from the fact of Cena's going to ruin wrestling. And I think for some people, there was that. I think Cena working the deliberately slower style and being, you know, working the heel style probably took some people out of the match as well. Is it a bad match? No. It was just some, like, when I started to see John do stuff, I was like, oh yeah, no, he's completely embracing the heel side. This is great. And I think also part of it was the fans were going to cheer for heel Cena because they've wanted that for so long. That's why also Cody got booed audibly, was just Cody is your white meat babyface in this role, and John Cena's the new fun heel. So yay, we get to boo, or, you know, yay, we get to cheer heel Cena now because he all told us to piss off, and we're going to eat that up now.
But now we have John Cena as your world WWE Undisputed Champion. He's not taking any clickbait questions, but he'll have to answer some stuff, and we'll have to see him work. I thought this match showed his limitations, but you could see how much fun he was actually having trying to get the fans to boo him. And he slowed down at different points of different moves, like the cadence he would normally do with his moves. He slowed it down a little. And I thought, for what he's able to do at whatever age he is at this point, and his, you know, acting, you know, schedule, for a singles match in a main event, I thought Cena held his own for what he can do at this point in his career. Because he hasn't had a big match. We haven't had big match John in a long time.
The only complaint that I have with this match overall is the fact that John didn't even bother trying to hide calling the match. I mean, if you could read lips.
But that's
okay,
John.
Do it again. Do it one more time. Okay, bump.
I mean, that's Cena staple. Cena. Yeah, it's standard Cena. It's.
If you've ever watched Botchamania,
I was going to say.
But he did call the match. He called his match. As we saw it or not, he called his match, and it. I know people, Cody people are going to be mad about it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm really happy he called the match. I mean, traditionally, it's the heel that calls the match, right, Keish?
Mm-hmm. For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
The heel or the veteran.
Yeah, or the veteran, or the heel, yeah. Sometimes they're one and the same. But he used to, back when he was, you know, like, you look back 15 years ago, he was doing this a little bit more full-time. He would at least make an effort to try to cover his mouth for half the match.
One of the things I want to see moving forward from John Cena is play into the expectation of the five moves of doom. Like, we all know it's coming, and he, you know, even as a face, it's like, okay, he'd rack up the kind of moves. But it was like tonight, when he went to do the five knuckle, it's like, yeah, he didn't hit those ropes as hard as normal. It's just kind of like, yeah, here it comes. Yay. I want him to do something like next time when he goes and he goes to hit the five, you know, he'll hit off the ropes, he'll do the shoulder thing, and then he just goes down for a pin instead. So all the fans are like, aww. Just play into that subversion.
Tease everybody.
Right. Instead of giving everyone what they want, give them that, like, and it doesn't have to be the same thing every time. You know, you don't want that to become the new shtick, but it's just like, if you're going to go, you know, you try and hit the AA, like you pick someone up, you try and hit the AA, and you just kind of like drop them off your back instead. Like, no, you don't get that. You don't get the move.
Have you ever seen John do a Samoan drop?
I'm sure he's broken it out a few times.
It's like you're talking about, like, set up his opponent for the AA, give him the Samoan drop instead. There's your changeup.
There's lots of things he could do, and I hope to see all of them.
And John is thinking, he's cognizant enough of, you know, of course he's been in the business for 25 plus years, but he's cognizant of, like, what this character is and what he wants it to be. And yeah, it's, you know, ripping into the little kid in Belgium about essentially, like, I'm breaking up with you all. Like, I'm sick of you all. You're a cancer, essentially. You're a toxic relationship. It's, we talked about it, like, way back in the time. Like, that was John Cena saying what he's wanted to for 20 years to all the people who booed him. And now, like, he gets to work matches as the champion of that same kind of thing. And Rock brought it up last week. You know, Backlash is in St. Louis. Do we get Randy versus John in St. Louis? The feud that everyone was sick and tired of, and John just kind of goes, I'm gonna give you this match because I know you all hated it. But we made it out of WrestleMania unscathed, unlike that one person in the front row almost didn't.
Yeah, that was kind of impressive of Stone Cold. Yeah, it's just, how weird is it that after seeing him throw back remnants of 6 cans of beer, I'm thinking, oh, don't get back on.
At least not with your company president still standing there on the front row.
But it was pretty cool. He went to that fan that got knocked over 3 separate times, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Overall, Case, give WrestleMania a grade.
Are we going, like, out of 10 letters? Dars? What do we want to do here?
Hey, dealer's choice, brother.
I'll give it a solid 8 out of 10. I enjoyed it.
It had a great beat, and you could dance to it.
That's right.
There you go. Brent.
I think 8's a fair grade for it. It had some good highs. There wasn't anything that really kind of stunk up the joint. Rock was talking about this before. I can't remember if it was last night or here, but it was the kind of thing like, usually you have a Mania where it's like, it has some high points, and then there's moments where it's like, it has a stinker match. Or, you know, like, if you look back at, like, WrestleMania 11 or, you know, some of the ones in the 20s, there's matches there where you're looking at it going, God, why was that on the show?
You had the four minute match for whatever reason that just sort of was out there. And
or you had 4 4-way matches for the tag titles that you were just like, this didn't need to be this.
There were matches on both nights. Some of them were better than others, but there were no bad matches. You're exactly right, Brent.
Yeah, there wasn't something where you look at it and you go, this was a Raw match. This should have just been on Raw. It's like, no, they all felt Mania in terms of scope. It's just a matter of like you said, some you would probably go, this wasn't as good as the previous match or two that we saw, but it was still very good.
What's your grade, Tim?
I'd give it a 7.75, but round that up to an 8. Just be a smarty pants. It's like I said when I was agreeing with Brent and yapping about it with Cash. There were no bad matches on the card. I said about night one, it was over before I knew it. That meant I was engaged. When you don't notice the time passing, you're being entertained. And tonight, almost exactly the same. I was a little bit more aware of the time because we came on live immediately following, and I had to time my bathroom break. But
there you go.
There were no duds. And it's like I said, some matches were better than others. You get that on every single card. You get that every Monday night. You get that every Tuesday night, every Wednesday night, every Thursday night. You get that every Friday night. Some matches are better than others. You had my match of the night candidate was the first one of night two. Those women absolutely just rocked the house. And of all of the matches that I would want to pick to rewatch, that is number one on the list. So yeah, definitely, it was a solid 8.
And Brent, as we go, housekeeping.
All right, so we have housekeeping. We had 12 picks overall for WTR Pick'em for WrestleMania 41. In 11th place, tied at 5-9, we have the co-hosts of CB Radio on this network, Subway and Rob, below 500. Betting at a nice even 500 for their picks, we had The Wheel, The 8 Ball, and our returning co-host on this show, one Keishi Matsunaga.
Yay!
Keishi, you tied the 8 Ball and The Wheel.
For 8th place.
At least they didn't beat me.
It tied for 4th place, going 8-6. We have Sarah, Tommy C., Lindsay Ward from The Rack, and one Tim Stein.
Hey, I'm in good company. I've tied with Lindsay. I can live with that.
And then in the best company tied for first, going 9-5, was WWE 2K25, Sir Rockin' the Producer, and The Intern.
There you go.
Who, by the way, was the only one to pick Seth Rollins out of this group. Thank you very much.
Yay.
You picked Punk. So did Casey.
Yep.
I had the visionary, and I predicted the turn.
Great. You want a cookie? Congratulations.
I mean, you can't send me a cookie, but I'll take an IOU.
I could send you a cookie, but I'm not gonna.
It would probably lose something in the postage.
No.
That will do it for WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio. Tomorrow night's Raw Post Show, Raw After Mania. We'll talk all things Monday Night Raw. When it ends, we'll be live with the Raw Post Show. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll talk about WrestleMania Night 2 on the Rack. We talked Night 1 on last night. That archive will be available tomorrow. Check out wherever you get your podcast or search the Rack Radio Show, but we'll talk Night 2 this Thursday. Saturday night, CB Radio, live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll probably be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. The Fallout, and we'll talk news, and whatever we can think of. It's WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com, it's Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim, you have social media accounts.
I do. You should follow me at Flames Forums, because that's where I post every single day. If you're interested in... any of the general contracting handyman work that I do, which includes repairing things, building things, carpentry, you know, stuff like that. Follow me at Tim's_toolbox on X.
Case, she has a social media account that he is posting daily on.
Somewhere in the ether, there's a social media belonging to me under the tag at KyleDriver. Whether or not I forget to post, intentionally don't post, forgot my password, intentionally forgot my password, who knows? But it's out there.
Right.
You can find me across a plethora of social media accounts, X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky. At either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. One of those will eventually get you to my insane ramblings.
There you go, chat. Remember, if you have Amazon Prime Link, it's huge, which counts called Prime Gaming Support Channel, by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card Rock and Sock in the Fortnite shop by the main eventers of WrestleMania, John Cena, Cody Rhodes, or The Undertaker, one of the all-time greats. Or upcoming Star Wars. Whatever you choose, just use the code, because hashtag epic partner. We'll see you all week long, along the arrows of the Wild Talk Radio Network, which we're live right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's been WrestleMania, Tim. Tell everyone to go home.
It's WrestleMania. The next PLE will be Backlash, and that's been a lot of fun talking about that follow-up. But in the meantime, in the between time, keep your eyes on social media for what the hell's going on. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Good night, everybody. Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise world shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. WildTalkRadio.com.